Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, I'm glad to have this opportunity to come to your fine city and preach. I'm always amazed anybody asks me to preach. So I guess it's God. It has to be God. My name is Ron Pittman, my wife Kathy. We're just good old country people. We're real, nothing fake about us. Don't know how to be fake. All I know how to do is just be real and love Jesus and love His church and just obey Him. Amen? Amen. So I pastor Glory Church in Asheville, North Carolina. Been there 27 years. Started the church with about six people, maybe. And God's been good, been faithful. We've been around the world, been about 14 nations, I guess. Preached, and built churches, done a lot of mission work. And growing up on a farm, I didn't think I'd ever get off the farm. And I got back in Vietnam, I swore I'd never get on another airplane. I said, if this thing ever lands, I'm never getting on another airplane. You can forget that. But when Jesus called me, He told me to go, so I had to go for Him. I wasn't going for myself. I was going for Him. I grew up American heathen. That's my church affiliation. I had no church affiliation. I grew up, American heathen. I got saved, not in church. I got saved actually in the woods about 3 o'clock one morning. I was a bootlegger and I sold white liquor. I was in a 62 Ford truck with a load of white liquor. I'd been way back in the mountains at a place that wasn't suitable for people to go. I had two pistols, and where I went, you better have three pistols. And, of course, I never didn't have to use them, wasn't in trouble, knew everybody. And when I was just a little kid, about 5 years old, my grandmother died when I was about five. She was the only spiritual one in the whole family. And she said that I'd be a preacher. That's the only words I ever remember her saying to me that was strong. And I can remember her saying that. And, you know, the Word of God's strong, regardless, you know, how it comes to you. It's strong. You know, it changed David. He was a shepherd boy till he got anointed, then he became king. And I remember that. And I ran from it all my life. I got saved, actually, when I was 12 years old, but nobody knew anything about God. Nobody went to church. Nobody told me to. You know, the first words that was spoken to me after I got born again in my grandfather's house. He had cancer, and he was dying, and so Good Baptist, they came around and would have home meetings, revivals, and they'd shout and run out in the yard and run around the house, Baptist. And they'd pray, and I remember me and my cousins was out in the yard playing, and the next thing I know, I was in the middle of the living room where they were singing and shouting and praising, asking to be born again. I don't even remember going in the house. And I gave my heart to the Lord, and I told Him I'd follow Him. Well, the first words that were spoken to me afterwards was my uncle, which I thought he was spiritual. And he was one of the most spiritual ones in the family. He said, "You better be careful now. That devil will be after you." So a 12-year-old kid telling the devil's going to be after him. I said, "I don't want this." And so nobody ever took me to church or anything, so naturally it didn't last long. And so when I got out of high school, I got thrown into the hog pen of the world. I went to Texas. I was 17 year old with my cousin, and I worked for the telephone company out there, and they threw me in with 8 rednecks from Louisiana and Texas, grown men. The youngest one was 29. I was 17, so I became the mascot. And so they were, their endeavor was to teach me all the sins of the world. And I've been in them old Texas nightclubs. I wouldn't call them a nightclub. Them old bars with dirt on the floor down in Louisiana, them old Cajun places. Wonder I hadn't been killed. But God. And then I went to Vietnam, stayed in Vietnam 13 months, came back crazy. I mean, really crazy. I was crazy anyway, but I was really demon-possessed crazy. When Doc talks about him, I mean, you know, I can relate. Doc and I relate so much to each other. And I always remembered the pull of God on my life. And I could tell the conviction, and it was kind of comforting, the conviction of the Lord. It's kind of comforting. But I remember when it left. It left me, and I knew it wasn't coming back. The pull of God, you know, to get in, come in. And I'd said no so many times. You know, God will take you at your word. He'll leave you alone. The Bible says he'll not always strive with man, and that's exactly the right. But my wife, I had married Kathy, and I had 2 little girls. And Kathy got into a wrong group of people. She got with a bunch of faith people. And they started believing God that I'd get born again. Now, I'd had every professional preacher, ever professional witnesser, anybody that even thought they knew the Bible coming to my house and trying to get me to come to the Lord. Because my sister was a Christian then. And so they were hell-bent on getting me saved. So I didn't want to get saved. I was a bootlegger, and that's how I made a living. I sold liquor. And always had money. And I even sold Christians liquor. Even sold some preacher's liquor. So they tried to get me to go to church. What do I want to go to church for? The only difference between me and you, I sleep in on Sunday morning. You can get up and go to church if you want to. I'm going to sleep in. I'll see you next week. You have to watch your life. So I turned them all down. I had respect at first. They'd come to the house, try to get me saved, and I'd hide my liquor, you know, and hide everything, and try to be respectful. After a while, I didn't care. They'd come, and I'd say, you want to drink a liquor? Get you one. The preacher or whatever, you know. Not proud of it, but that's how I was. So I'd said no to everybody, and God honored my no. But my wife got turned on to these faith people. That's in the faith movement. About 1978, with Brother Hagin and Kenneth Copeland, and they started. Had this church. It's about about an hour and a half drive from where we lived, and all of them got into this faith, and they believed you have what you say, and they believed if you prayed and you believed it, you could have it. And so she went to a Bible study on Tuesday night, and they prayed that I'd be born again by Sunday. Well, that's impossible. Every preacher, every professional witnesser, and everybody that tried to get me saved that I'd reject it and said no to, it took the Holy Ghost about 5 seconds. I was coming from this place about 3 o'clock in the morning, and he got in the truck with me. an angel, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or something was. I don't know what it was at that time. But I remember after that, the Lord said, I came for your words. I didn't know what that meant. I came for your words. See, I spoke when I was 12 years old that I'd follow him. You know, the Lord doesn't forget. He doesn't forget anything. And he got in the truck with me, and he said, this is your last night on earth. What are you going to do about it? Well, I never did think I was too smart, but I was smart enough to know that was the truth. And I said, if you'll let me get home, see my wife and my daughter, I'll follow you from this day forward. Well, he did, and I did, and here I am. Amen. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convince the world of sin. He will convince. You know, if we'd quit trying to convince our husbands or our kids and let the Holy Spirit convince them, you'd get them saved. See, we try to bug them into heaven. We're going to nag them in. Bug them in, you know, just constantly. Leave them alone. The Lord told me one time, you know, my two daughters, they got up 16 years old and they got kind of out, you know, doing their thing. And Kathy always go to bed and sleep and rest, but I was a little different, you know. I was praying, worrying what it was. But, and the Lord told me, he said, you know, if people would leave their kids alone and let them go to the hog pen, they would come back a lot quicker, but the problem is they keep praying them out of the hog pen. And that's the truth. Oh, God, don't let anything happen to my kids. Oh, Lord, don't let them do this. Oh, Lord. And after that, I said, Lord, send them to the hog pen. Let them eat slop. Let them wallow with the hogs. Get them, God. And I quit paying them out of the hog pen. I quit paying them out, praying them out of the hog pen. And I said, get in the hog pen. And you know, it didn't take long for them to come home. And I tell our church people, and hello? My wife's phone went off. And that's the truth, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to look in a scripture with me over in the book of Judges, chapter 3. Now, if I'm at church, I pastor, and I preach doctrine, and, you know, like we have to do pastoring, but when I go out, I really seek the Lord about what he wants me to say to the people or to the church. And it's amazing. I've been preaching as long as I have, probably like your pastor. And I've always, when I go somewhere, Lord, I don't have anything to preach. I can't find a message. I don't have a message. Been preaching 27 years. No telling how many hundreds of messages, and I can't find one. You like that, pastor? I said, Lord, I don't know what to say. But... And I had a couple before I got here. Then he told me to preach this. And I was sitting there during praise and worship, and the Lord said, who told you you're small? Who told you you had a little church? Who told you you wasn't big enough? And he said, the church has gone off the original purpose of what I called it to do. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will. Thank God he didn't call us to build a church. Amen. I'm not a carpenter. I'd hate to see a church I'd build. And I'm not very good at getting people. So I've run off more than I've dragged in. So I can't do that. So thank God he didn't call us to build his church. He said, I'll build it. Well, what do you want me to do? He said, I'll place you in the bodies that pleases me. So he does the placing, he does the calling, he does the placing, he does the anointing. He does all that for his purpose, not ours. In the book of Acts, it says he added to the church daily. He did, not us. And sometimes we think big is better. God does not think that way at all. God does not think big is better. He took the anointing away from one guy said and told him, he said, when you were small in your own eyes, I blessed you. But then you got big. Then you got haughty. And we begin to think we were something. We're nothing. We'll never be anything outside Jesus Christ. Everything we are, it's in him. It's because of him. His church. He places us in a city with the people he wants us in that city for one reason. To be a light to that city. To address the spirits of that city. And to change the hearts of the people. Amen. But you have to do all of our work in the spirit. Yes. Yes. Not in the natural. Our work is a spiritual work. Yes. We preach in the spirit. We pray in the spirit. The Bible says he called his ministers a flame of fire. Paul said, I was with you in the spirit. We're spirit ministers. Yes. We preach spirit. We don't preach natural. See, and what we've done, we've taken the church and tried to use it just in the natural as a business to try to market and try to sell and try to draw a crowd and build a big crowd of people. And that's missing the whole mark. That's not what God called us to do. That is not what he called us to do. He's called us to change cities. He's called us to change nations. He's called us to change homes and families. Well, how do we do that? You're never going to do it in the natural. You're never going to do it by our great preaching. But what we've done, what we do in the church, we take a personality and we build everything around that personality. We market ourselves, we sell ourselves. That's why Jesus doesn't do any more miracles than he does. The next thing you know, we'd have it advertised everywhere. And we'd do it for one purpose, to build ourselves a ministry. To build ourselves up, or to build our church, or to build our name, or for us to have a great name. We want a great name. Now, I don't have to ask pastors or ministers or even myself if that's right. I know it's right. That's called flesh. We're all that way. But Jesus called us at his church. And he places us where he wants us for such a time as this. We are the last generation. We're sent here for a purpose. And what is that purpose? It's his purpose. If we think it's slow, that's none of our business. If we think it's working fast, none of our business. We think as we're in revival, none of our business. In or out, whatever. We just do what he called us to do. I was seeking the Lord when he first called me into the ministry. And about church and naturally and, growing and people coming and all that. Well, it wasn't working real fast. And I was praying, seeking the Lord. And the Lord said, son, you want to be a success? I said, sure. Who doesn't want to be a success? He said, I can show you somebody in the Bible that was a success. Would you like to be like them? Well, sure. He said, it was Elijah. Yeah, Elijah. He had one in his congregation. Had one. But that one did twice what he did. See, we forgot that as pastors. Now, I know I talked to a lot of pastors. I talked to one pastor not too long ago in our city who quit. He gave it up. And the reason he did, well, I talked to him and I talked to a couple of others, did the same thing. And the reason he did, he didn't grow fast enough. The people wasn't doing what he thought they ought to do. Then he turned his anger on the people. Then he began to fuss at the people. You people. Yous will do this. Yous will do that. And so he got frustrated and frustrated, and he quit. He went through a period where the church grew. Then it leveled off. And about a third of them left. And so he had this idea he was going to start, and man, he's going to, you know, be the answer to the city. Well, it didn't turn out that way. So he got so frustrated, he quit. So he's talking to me about it and thought I'd give him pity to understand. Well, I didn't understand. I said, you failed in your calling. God didn't call you to build a church. He called you to pastor those people.
That's right.
You're a pastor.
That's right.
A pastor looks after people.
Amen.
If that's one or a thousand, that's none of my business. He looks after the people. And I always remember what God told me about Elijah. I've always had one. Sometimes not more, much more than that, but I've always had one. And so I take that one, and I study, and I pray, and I fast, and I do everything as if I had 10,000 people. Because to me, I want that person to do twice what I have done. Because I'll be a success if I can help somebody. But God's not into numbers. Well, He is, but he usually, as you read about God, He shrinks them. Remember Gideon? 32,000. That's a good church. But He is going up against 150,000 people, army. But you're still outnumbered. But He had 32,000. That's a good sized church any day. And God said, you got too many. Well, He said, I'll tell you how to separate them. So He told him how, and He shrunk them down to 10,000. Well, God says, you still got too many. Then He shrunk them down to 300. And God said, well, that sounds about right for me to get the glory.
Amen.
Sounds about right for me to get the glory. You know, I found out something about God or the Holy Ghost. He loves the burning of our flesh more than any other smell on this earth. He loves to smell us dying. What's that pride? What's all that just wither on the vine and die to where we stand alone? Oh, God. I am nothing. He said, I thought you'd never get there. Here I am, Lord, by myself. He said, good. I'm a failure. Good. I told a little story a little bit up in when I was in Michigan. I don't have time to tell it all this morning about the time I met Jesus Christ. Was you there, Pastor?
I was there.
They drafted me into the Army, sent me to Tank Hill, South Carolina, Fort Jackson, little old skinny country boy, 19-year-old, scared to death. Sent me to, well, the first day was there, lined up in formation. Here come the biggest, meanest looking black man I ever saw in my life. He was about 6'6". Never had a bit of fat on him, none but just raw bone and muscle. Steely-eyed, big jaw. He just walked up down the line and looked at us. And he stood in the middle and he said, My name is Jesus Christ. That's what he said. My name is Jesus Christ. I thought, oh my God, I'm going to die. I thought, I've heard of you. But I didn't know you was black. That's all going through my head while he was talking. He said, I hate you. I said, well, I don't like you either. Not out loud. I hate your guts. You're a weak, good for nothing. Not any value to you. And I'm going to kill you. Oh, Lord. Mama. Help me, Mama. You guys ever been in basic, especially back then? Of a night, I'd hear some of those guys out there crying for Mama. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm going to kill you. For the next 10 weeks. No, he said for the next six weeks. I'm going to kill you. When I get through with you, there'll be absolutely nothing left of you. You will be dead. Jesus Christ said that. If Jesus tells you you're going to die, you're going to die. And how prophetic that was. I didn't know it then, but I found out that's the way the church is. And I use a little scripture over in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 where David's mighty men came. And it, one qualification they had that was stood out more than anything else, I think it's verse 32. They knew how to keep rank. They knew how to keep rank. And I found out that's one thing the church doesn't know anything about. And you'll find where Jesus commented a man about the kingdom and about faith more than anybody else was a military man. He said, your faith, I marvel at your faith. A military man. And that military man said, listen, I understand authority. I understand rank. And I know that I don't outrank you. I have men under me. I can tell one to go here and he better obey me. I tell one to go here and he obeys that quick. And I know you outrank me and you're a general in your kingdom and whatever you say happens. You don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word. Now, that military man understood that more than anybody in the church. It wasn't the church then, but to say now. Military man. And I've thought of that a lot of times through my military short career, how it was and what we went through and how it worked. We were an army of one. The Bible says where unity is, there is anointing, there is blessing, there is power. And unity starts at the head. The anointing starts at the head. And run down through the body. And when it gets all over the body, it produces blessing. But here's our problem in the church. We're all individuals and we think we all have the same rank. And we don't have to take orders from anybody. I'm the church. I'm just as much the church if I stay home as I am if I'm married. I'm the church. I don't need this, don't need that. Well, you know, the Greek says you're goofy. Well, not really. I said that. That's not right. And we've made the body such a weak entity. And we've reduced it down to a thing that all we're concerned about is how many people's on in the pews. And we've not built the church. Well, I was in the military. I didn't have a choice. The military, the government owned me.
Yeah.
I took one step, raised my hand and said something, took one step, and they owned me.
Yeah. Yes.
They owned me.
Yeah.
I was not my own anymore.
Right.
I lost my identity. Mm-hmm. I was who they said I was. If they didn't say I was something, I wasn't something. I didn't go out the first day and say, how you doing, Jesus Christ? I think I'll be Jesus Christ tomorrow. I think I'll be, he was a E8 or, well, no, he's an E9, first sergeant. He was way up in rank. Took him about 25 years to get there. 30 years to get that rank. Here I am off the farm. Where you get them stripes, Sarge? Well, get me some of them. All I need is some stripes. Just give me a title. If you'll just give me a title in the church, then I'll come back. If you'll give me a position, Pastor, I'll come back. After all, I know as much as anybody else. I had a guy in church one time say, Pastor, I can preach that good. I said, you can probably preach better than me. I don't doubt that a bit. You can probably organize better than me. I don't doubt that a bit. But the problem is, I outrank you, bud. I'm the boss. You ain't. Sorry. Sit down. They knew how to keep rank. And Jesus said, that Jesus, not the real Jesus, the black Jesus. Well, Jesus may be black. You know? I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to spend the next 6 weeks killing you. And when I kill you and you're dead, then I'm going to make you what I want you to be. And when I get through with you, you will be what I say you are. What I've made you is what you'll be. You'll be a lean, green, killing machine. Oh, yeah, that's. And so they put us through the rigors. First day, live faith. And some of them dumb hillbillies went right. So they put us out there marching. They called it keeping rank. And we'd march. And they taught us cadence. And they taught us how to march. Start out with yelling, lift, 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 right, lift. And we marched. And they'd say, right face. We'd have to pivot on our right foot, go with your left. Some of them dumb hillbillies would go left. You ought to have seen us the first week. I mean, we was going everywhere. You're scared anyway. And they scream at you constantly. And you can't hear anything. You don't want to be there. And they're screaming at you. And you're going left when they say right. And right when they say left and turning. And you're going bumping into each other and them screaming. You dumb bunch of hillbillies. And that's some of the sweet stuff they call it. I remember this old boy from Alabama. We called him Zero. I'll tell you, we had marched a pretty good while, and everybody's getting, you know, pretty good at it. And he'd always mess up. So the drill sergeant went and got a little rock and a big rock. And he put the little rock in his left pocket and the big rock in his right pocket. And he'd say, right face, and for you dumb hillbilly, that's the big rock. You know, some church people are still like that. We'll have church and we'll say, where were you? Well, Pastor, you know, I made a left turn when I should have made a right turn. What do you mean? You know we have church? Well, Pastor, you know, right, faith, big rock. And he had to take that rock, and he had to love that rock, both of them. He had to shower those rocks, brush those rocks' teeth. He had to name those rocks. And every once in a while, he'd call him out and say, let me see those rocks, Private. Just drill sergeant. And they better be clean. And they better be nice. You know, and we'd get in formation, and we'd have to stand there at attention. How many of you guys have been in the military in here? See, you know what I'm talking about. They'd come by and inspect, we'd stand there, and they'd look in your ear. See, if you had, you know, I didn't have it. I can go without shaving. I can dry shave. I didn't have much beard. It was fine peach fuzz, you know, and I had it on some of those guys. Some of those guys, that before formation got over, they'd have a shadow. And that'd make you get out there and dry shave in formation. I mean, they're rough on us. And they'd look up your nose. Private, what's that I see in your nose? I don't know, drill sergeant. You come to my formation with a nose like that? I'm sorry, drill sergeant. Get down and give me 50. Oh, Lord. Yeah. They checked you from here all the way to the end of your shoes. They had to be spit shined. They had to be pressed. Your buttons, when we had brass, they had to be polished. Your sideburn had to come to a certain place. Your mustache, you know, I've had a mustache. People ask me why I have a mustache. Don't look good. It's called a short-timer's mustache. When I was in Vietnam, they had, when you got down within 2 months, a short-timer means you're leaving country, you could grow a mustache. And I grew a mustache then, and some of the guys I know didn't make it. And I've had that mustache ever since for them. But they checked everything about you. You know, the church today, can I get off on this? Even in the pulpit, is the sloppiest dressed bunch I ever saw. Looks like they just got out of bed. They're not neat. They're not groomed. And when we went in to meet the captain or major or whoever outranked you, you better have it in order.
Yeah.
Hadn't you, ma'am? You walked in there. You didn't go in there sloppy. You better have your uniform on. I know when you got rank, I got to sergeant. I made sergeant. And you had to go before a board. And they had four men sit across the table. Had a major, a couple of majors, a captain, and a sergeant. First sergeant sat across the table. And you walked in that room and they hammered you with a bunch of questions. They threw questions at you. And you better answer every one of those questions. But when you first walked in the room, you walked in there and you stopped and you presented yourself. And you had to stand there a while and they looked at you from head to toe. And they graded you on how you dressed, your uniform. They knocked points off. But now, when we come before Jesus Christ, we any sloppy way we want to come before Him. In other words, oh, He's a good old boy. He's one of us. You better respect the people that was over us and ranked us. But in the church now, you see what the church has become? Where's our power in the Spirit to address anything? We don't know how to keep rank.
Nope.
See, we'd march and we'd march and we'd march, and I'd think, how's this? How in the world is this? They start changing my brain, you see. They start changing the way I think. I quit thinking like a plowboy, started thinking like a soldier. It took a while. But every day and night, they hammered that in me. And I started thinking like a soldier. And I started kind of being a little proud. For the first time in my life, I was becoming somebody. Endeavored, proud. Ask Doc if he's a Marine. Why is he like that? Right here. They made a Marine out of him. He will never not be a Marine. Because they made a Marine out of him. Just with this process I'm telling you. And we marched and we marched and we marched. And they got to talking to us, well, we're going to the firing range. Dog, I can't wait to go shoot. And we got to go to the firing range. We got to fire a little, shoot a little, you know, M16s and M60. And man, I love that. Then they'd make us go to marching again. This is the stupidest thing I ever seen. Why do we have to just march and march and march and march? All the time march. Why don't we go shoot? How you going to kill the enemy marching? How you going to defeat the enemy marching? I need to go be learn how to shoot better. Give me my weapon. Give me 1 Peter 2:24. I'm ready. I can preach. Turn me loose. I'm ready to be a deacon. I'm ready to be a second in command pastor. I'm ready to be in the choir, I'm telling you. I can sing better than anybody in here. Yeah, but you can't keep rank. You don't know how to march. You don't know your left foot, your right foot in church. March, march, and march, and march. I'm telling you, we got so good. We're so in such precise, you know, we're in such order. You could look through that whole company, and we just, everybody looked like one foot. Man, and when we started doing that, he'd scream, and we'd sing that cadence, you know. We go down there singing cadence. I love when they sung cadence. Oh, we'd march. We'd force march 10 miles. Not even break a sweat. We started being what Jesus Christ said we was going to be. First day, we couldn't march a mile. Running into each other. But after about 7 weeks, 8 weeks, you talk about precision. We had it. And boy, that day when we went on the parade field and we got to march and keep rank for the big guys, you talk about proud. We were proud. We were ready. My brain started changing. The way I thought started changing. I thought soldier every day then. I thought soldier every night. I began to change. You know that Jesus Christ did make me into what he said. But I had to lose myself. Yeah. Jesus says, if a person comes after me and doesn't lose his life, he will never find it. We don't even know what that means. You do now. You'll never be what I called you to be in this church. But first, you have to keep rank. You have to march at command. You have to do what I say. But it don't make sense. I don't like because it don't make sense. If it don't make sense, I'm not doing it. Pastor comes up with these crazy things. Be there on Thursday night. Be there on Wednesday night. Put me clean in the latrine. Bathroom. I'm not cleaning any bathroom. They put me in charge of the latrine one time. Now that's not a promotion. That was punishment. Stealing pies. Stealing pies out of the mess hall. Didn't even get to eat them. had to do KP, and KP means kitchen duty, and latrine. I cleaned that latrine so spotless. I mean, you could eat off the floor. I mean, I had that, and the captain came in and said, "Wow, who cleaned this latrine?" "Private Pittman, sir." "Good job, soldier." "Wow, I got an attaboy from a pastor. I cleaned the bathroom. I got an attaboy. Wow, I'm starting to adjust to this church business. I'm starting to get to where I know what it means." And the pastor teaches, and he teaches something else. "Now I know what my weapons are." We had to be blindfolded in a dark room, tear our weapon down, put it back together, and I forget how many seconds. I didn't understand that. That didn't make any sense to me. But we marched. Then after I got through with there, through with that duty, I went to another. I went to Air Force Base. I went to two other Army bases. And all that time, I spent 9 months in this country training. Then came orders to go down to Vietnam. Spent the first 14 weeks just called basic. Basic. That's basic membership, basic principles of the church. What's it mean to be born again? What's baptism in the Holy Ghost? Healing. Who you are in Christ. Basic stuff. Just basic stuff. If you never get the basics, you can't go on to a specialist. You can't go on, see people. You can't go on. We think Jesus is just going to give us everything and we don't have to know nothing. Peter says like this, says, "This belongs to those who have knowledge." Yes. Yes. Through knowledge. Through knowledge you obtain. There's a reason for this, people. And I went to Vietnam. I learned how to keep rank. I didn't mind marching anymore. Didn't make any sense to me about fighting the enemy. I went to specialist training and Air Force Base. I went to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, took other specialist training. I came back and went to California for other specialist training. Then I got over there. They put me in a specialist, you know. And first day in country, first night country. Flew us out in the kind of in the bush and got there late and went in the bunker there and resting. About 3 o'clock in the morning, it sounded like the world was coming to an end. Sirens started going off. I never heard them back when Jesus Christ had me. All I had to do was march. Then, oh my God, I woke up that quick and I didn't have time to think. I didn't have time to think. Well, I did, first thought I had, do I put my pants on or my boots? Because we had to get to the perimeter, we had to get to the line because we had what we call incoming and a ground attack that's coming in through the wire. Lots of them. And I didn't have time to think. Well, what in the world? Where is my weapon? What do I do with that ammo? Where's my Bible? I know I laid it around here somewhere. Excuse me, ma'am. It's the doctor talking. My wife. Had to go with the doctor. They sent her to have a colonoscopy. Nurse came in crying. The nurse was crying. Said, I'm so sorry. You're such a nice people. You're such nice people. I love you. Well, we never met that lady. She's crying. You're such nice people. I am so sorry. Well, third stage, almost fourth stage cancer. I never lost my cool. She didn't either. Matter of fact, we prayed for the nurse. She's having trouble in her family and having some trouble with her family. We prayed for her. Now, and we encouraged her. Now, honey, it'll be all right. Don't you worry. God will take care of you. And we never lost our peace, never lost our joy. I didn't have to hunt my Bible. I didn't have to hunt for a scripture. I didn't have to hunt my weapon. I didn't have to think about what to do. I knew where everything was at. I instantly started reacting to what I'd been trained to do. I just responded to my training. You realize how much that training that Jesus Christ and all His disciples gave me saved my life? It saved my life. I'm here today because that old sergeant walked out there and said, I hate you the way you are. You're no good. But when I get through with you, you'll be a wrecking ball against the devil. Amen. Satan will fear you. You can whip him anywhere you meet him. We'd be out in the field and everything going along good and just as quiet and peaceable. And you're tired and hit about 120 degrees and you're thirsty and tired. You don't want to go no further. You don't want to walk no more. You don't want to march anymore. But you know you can because you have. And all of a sudden, everything comes alive and everybody's trying to kill you. Well, I don't want to fight today. You understand? Hey, boys. Take a day off. I don't want to go to church today. No, I know. The devil ain't going to ask you. I'm sorry about my grammar. That's just who I is. The devil's not going to ask you when you want to fight. If you're ready for an attack, he's not going to ask you when he comes against your children, come against your marriage, come against your finance, come against your body. He's not going to ask you. Well, I'm tired. I've been through enough. I've been wounded. I've been hurt. Well, get in line. I get sick and tired of hearing people, I got hurt in church. You know, I got hurt in church. They didn't do me right in church. I said, I got hurt at a restaurant one time. Had bad food. I got disappointed at a garage. I got some bad gas one time. Well, I just got hurt in church and I quit. You didn't quit anything else you got hurt at. But you can quit God. That quick. And blame it on the preacher and all the saints. And I'll tell you what's wrong. You don't know how to keep rank. You never had to march. Never had to be schooled in the Holy Ghost. And Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Well, look out, little Christian. When you join this army, you have an enemy. The Bible says you have a personal adversary.
Yes, sir.
Just tailor-made to fit your life.
Right.
Satan has tailor-made a spirit toward your life. He knows everything about you. Or my Bible, the doctor said, I had 3 months to live. Where's those teaching tapes? I got to build my faith. Forget it. I'm serious. God may give you a miracle. He may have mercy on you. He might. We pray for people like that. But I prayed for too many that died. I gave a guy, he had cancer one time, and I gave him some teaching tapes by Norval Hayes and Kenneth Coleman. Kenneth Hagin, different ones on healing. You know what he told me? I've heard those. Well, see you in heaven, brother.
Yeah.
I've heard those. Mm-hmm. Now, see, here's our problem. We have to be trained to think right. I told the guys at church we built a security team. Had a guy from the highway patrol come in and taught us, as well as some other guys. And I told him, I said, now, you see this guy here, and you see us, you know the difference between him and you? If somebody walks in that room, walks through that door, you look at him one way, he looks at him a different way. He is trained to look for things about that person that you're not trained. We see things through our own clouded glasses. We don't see it through the Word. We've not been trained to keep rank. We've not been trained to march. We've not been trained. We treat church as if it's just a church, if we can go if we want to. That's not what Jesus intended. He told us, He said, listen, it's a war. You're in war. And you have weapons, and you have armor, and you have to be good at using these weapons. And one of the weapons is your mouth and faith in your heart. You have to know all this stuff. See, I was talking to your pastor. We come through the faith camp, and we got all that stuff. But most people don't know anything about it and don't have it, and you can't seem to get them interested in getting it. And I watch people, when the enemy comes, you'll be in combat. I'll guarantee you, you'll be in combat. But the only difference between us when we went to combat in the natural, we knew we were going in it. And the church yet doesn't have a clue that they're in combat. Well, I'm going to read my scripture to you. I don't even know what time I started. Do you? Are you through? Look in Judges. Chapter 3. Did I tell you chapter 3?
Yeah.
And we're going to look at one verse that I was reading along one day, and the Holy Spirit just stopped me on this. After him, verse 31. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Philistines with an ox goad. You know what ox goad is? It's a stick with a little hook on the end of it that they drove an ox with. They'd hook it in their harness and pull them a certain way or tap them left and right. Wasn't a big stick. It's an ox goad. He killed 600 men with an ox goad and delivered a nation. One man. One man with an ox goad, delivered a nation. How do you do that? That's supernatural. Who are we? We're supernatural people.
Yes, we are.
Now, that's the only scripture in the Bible about him. The only mention of him in the Bible. One guy. God said, hey, one church guy just got up one day and said, that's enough of this stuff. God doesn't need an army. One person. Saved a nation. Notice what he started where he's at, used what he had, and didn't quit. Started where he was at, used what he had, and didn't quit. Amen? Let me show you something else. 1 Kings. We might get into this a little more tonight. I don't know ever how the Lord leads. But he said to me, who said you're small? Chapter 17 of 1 Kings. Sorry, I didn't tell you that, did I? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Are you glad I came up here?
Yes.
Thank you. I was getting ready to leave. Verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite. Oh, Elijah the Tishbite. If you study Elijah, he's just an old country boy. He's a Tishbite. What are you? You study what Tishbite is, you can't really find out. In other words, he was a nobody. Elijah the nobody. Really is what he was. Elijah the nobody. Just showed up one day. The nation was in a backslidden mess, about like America. Turned from God, worshiping false gods. Jezebel and Ahab running the country. All the false prophets sat at her table and ate. She was killing all the real preachers in the land. If she found out you was a prophet, you was dead. Annihilated. That's what's happening in America now. If Hillary Clinton had got elected, they were coming after the church. Donald Trump saved the church a lot of heartache, gave us a reprieve. Now it's coming. It's just a matter of time till these liberals get in office. It's just a matter of time. So you know exactly what they're going to do to our nation when they get in. Now Elijah was a Tishbite. The only thing you can find out about Elijah, that he was a Nazarite. He took a Nazarite vow. Meant he didn't drink any liquor, didn't cut his hair, didn't touch anything dead. In other words, he was totally committed to the service of God. He went to church and learned how to keep rank. And he just sat for years as a nobody. An absolute nobody. Nobody knew him. Nobody had heard of him. Nobody thought he was a prophet. No, nobody. Elijah the nobody. And God had him in training. What about you? You don't know what's down there. You don't know what God's got. See, if you can't keep rank, you can't be faithful, and you can't grow up, and you can't get all of it, and you got to be ready. When God knocks on the door, you got to be ready. All right, I have need of you. Let's go. Wait a minute, God. I've not been through any classes in church. I don't know anything about the Bible. I don't even know where the Bible is. Well, I've given you all this time to train. Forget it. I'll get somebody else. You think that can never happen? Listen, honey. God's got to have money in these last days. He's going to have businessmen who know how to make money. He's going to have people ready to release finances in their hand that won't keep it. He's got to have people sold out to where they can pray and see in the Spirit and know how to pull down strongholds and know how to pray prophetically and know how to speak the Word and cause things to happen. He got to have preachers and know how to preach into the spirit realm and command demons to fall. He got to have these things trained. But until we get there, it's boring. Very boring. You don't think it was, go with Elijah down to Brook Cherub and see how boring it was. Just sat there every day waiting on a dumb crow to fly in and feed you. Lord, nobody liked this faith life. But he's faithful. We don't know what God's getting ready to do. We just have to be ready. He was a Tishbite. And he said, he showed up one day, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand. Now that means he stood by the Lord day and night. There shall not be dew or rain these years except at my word. except at my word. Now, he didn't say, except God says it's going to. He said, listen, I'm in charge now. I say it's not going to rain, and it's not going to rain. I say when it's going to rain, and you better believe it. I'm in charge now. The church is in charge now. Get this straight. We've been trained. We've been through the process of dying and being rebuilt, and we've had our mind transformed, and we think right now. And we're ready for combat. It's not going to happen until the church says it's going to happen. Amen. He said, if I say it's going to rain. And James lets us in on this secret. And Elijah prayed that it would not rain. Elijah went down there and stuck his foot in his mouth. He got so mad and fed up with what was going on. He said, listen, I'm fed up with you. It ain't going to rain. And he went back and said, oh, God. And he prayed that it wouldn't rain.
That's right.
And God said, if you say it, you can have it. You're my man. I found you to be faithful. You went through the ranks. You know how to keep rank. You've done everything. You can have it. Then he came back and said, told Ahab, it's going to rain. Then he ran back, oh God, let it rain. You don't show up, they'll kill me. Let it rain. And he was a man of like passions we are. One man, Elijah, saved a nation. Turned that nation, brought a revival to that nation, turned it around. One man. Moses, one man. Shamgar, one man. David, one man. God said, I sought for a man. One? Just one? Yeah. See, we look at this thing wrong. Elijah walked out, and when Elijah spoke, he wasn't speaking to people. He was speaking to spirits. It's not going to rain. He didn't care what the people thought. He's telling devils, it's not going to rain. I shut up the heavens. You better have some power in the spirit realm.
Right. Yeah.
See, God, through the faith movement, through the Holy Ghost telling us, he was trying to make spiritual powerhouses out of the church. And something come along called church growth. Prosperity got us all looking at ourselves, the gospel of self, and we turned it all into being a success, having a big church, having a good name, and we've forsaken the spiritual realm of it, and we've not focused everything. You look at the young ministers, how they're ministering. It's not about spirit. When your pastor and I come along, we patterned ourselves out of a man who walked in the spirit. We wanted the anointed. It's all we wanted. We wanted to move like Brother Hagin, being anointed. We just wanted the anointed. We didn't care about nothing. We just wanted the anointed. You don't hear that anymore. Amen? You're a powerhouse in this city. God has you here. Don't worry about for what. When he gets ready, he'll be watching you see if you keep rank. Do you know your left and your right about church stuff? You know the doctrines of the Bible? You know how? You got to have your weapons. You got to know how to use them.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Well, let me pray. Father, we thank you for your anointing. Father, I hope I said something to bless the people. Lord, the devil wants to take our confidence away. That's what it's all about. Tries to keep us down. Tries to get us to think small in ourself instead of thinking big in you. We know we're nothing, but in you, Lord, we're a powerhouse. Lord, I ask you to bless this church and bless this pastor. Keep them strong. Keep them strong in this city. Let them know they're here for a purpose. The devil wouldn't be fighting so hard if he didn't know that. He can see what's happening. He can see things in the spirit realm, and we're here to build an army. Lord, and we'll take whatever you send us. We'll make soldiers out of whoever walks through that door. We'll take them if they'll give themselves to us, and we'll make soldiers. We'll make powerhouses out of them. We'll make We'll make great warriors. But Lord, they have to be submissive. And Lord, it gets very discouraging. But nevertheless, we're on duty. Nevertheless, we've been in combat. We know what it's like. And we know how to take others in. And we know how to bring them out. Now, Father, bless this church and bless these people. Keep us strong and healthy that we may fulfill the commission on our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.